I love some of the absolutes that God gives. You know, we're never supposed to talk in absolutes, right? You always and you never. We're not supposed to do that, but God does it. I love how he does it because he says, rejoice always. That's who you are. You rejoice always. You pray without ceasing. You pray without ceasing. You give thanks in everything. Right? And his praise will continually be in your mouth. It will always be in your mouth. Right? He's so full of who he is. Wow. You know, God doesn't need us to praise and worship him. It's kind of mind-blowing, but he knows what's going to happen in your life if you do. You know, this relationship with him, because it's all about relationship. Because if you get into religion, then it becomes something that you have to do. But when it's about relationship, it's something that you will do. And I love David. I will exalt the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will. You know why? Because when you spend time with him, you can't help it. You fall in love. You fall in love, in love, in love, and you just have to. Do you experience that? You just have to. And you just will. You'll be going around and there'll be a song on your heart. There'll be a word in your mouth. There'll be something will be pouring through you. There'll be a dance in your step because of how awesome he is when you spend time with him. So I want to talk today about you being a portal of praise. So a couple weeks back, Bruce was like, you got a word, you got a word. And I came here clean and I was like, God, what's my word? What's a word? What do you want us? And he was like, they're a portal of praise. And I was like, okay. Give me more. So I couldn't speak last Sunday. So he had a great word last Sunday, you know, about what is happening in the activities of heaven, the singing, the shouting, the dancing, the making of the joyful noise, right? All the laughter, the thanksgiving. I loved some of the ones. I was like, oh, really? That's standing in the presence of the Lord. You stand firm, right? All those activities are of the Lord. And I forgot completely where I was going with that. But just knowing him and praising him is a reflection of knowing him. He inhabits our praises. He inhabits your praises. He comes and lives and dwells. So we were talking about being portals of praise. And Psalm 24 kept coming to my mind. So I went to Psalm 24, and we're just going to read it, okay? The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? Okay, I better not get... So, I was like, why was I thinking portal? Well, if you look up portal, it means a doorway or a gateway, a door or a gate. He wants to flow through you. So we're going to walk through this, this whole chapter, okay? The first part, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Everything and everyone is his. He created and he is the creator. It's about the sovereignty of God. Whew. That's who you love. Whew. I'm feeling that one. Next, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in the holy place? It's a little different, huh? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? We get to know him. We get to see him. We get to hear him. I love Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We get to boldly approach him, where you'll find mercy every time. Every time. I love it. Who's ever done anything wrong? So a few of you, I didn't know. I'm just kidding. No. He's amazing. And I'm kind of getting ahead, but I love his mercy. His mercy is amazing because you can always approach him with the worst thing you've ever done. It doesn't matter. And I'll stop it there. But you'll find grace. Do you know what grace is? It's God's ability in your life. Would you rather do it by your ability or God's ability? So you can come to him and he's going to give you the ability. He's going to give you the grace to overcome or help in your time of need. Praise God. Hallelujah. I would love to go to my sovereign God and get my answer and get my peace or keep my peace or keep my joy or keep my patience. Verse 4, it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Amen. He made us right with God. 1 John, I wanted to read this one. I was looking at it this morning. I just love it. This is the message we've heard from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with him. There's fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love it. Are you having a hard time with something? Bring it to him. You'll find mercy. You'll find grace. And what happens? Jesus cleanses us. When you hang with him, you cannot help but change. When you encounter his love, you cannot help but change. His love is so unconditional. We love the unconditional love, right? But I know sometimes I struggle in giving it. But I keep hanging out with Jesus. Because you, what you behold, you become. When you hang with him, you will change. You will change relationship. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Live in the light of God, and you will walk free from sin. Sin has no hold on you. Okay, that's the gospel. It no longer can have a hold on you. Now you just need to know the power of the one that lives inside you. And you will fall more and more in love with him. Amen. All right. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. There's no idols in your lives, and you do not lie. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. Ephesians 1:3, I love this verse. Actually, so many verses I love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When you stay in him, you remain in the spiritual blessings of God. Continuous blessings. Continuous joy, peace. Struggling? Find him. Find him, get back into him. You'll find the spiritual blessing of peace, of joy, of patience, of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You'll find it because that's who he is. Do you know how blessed you are? Whew. Amen. Second part of verse 5, in righteousness from God, from the God of his salvation. Christ has become our righteousness, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We, or our position, is now in Christ. And we are now the righteousness of God. So when Jesus looks at you, he sees who? Jesus. That's the gospel. That is good news. Because you can come as you are. And he's like, I love you. It's our right standing with him, righteousness. You remain in that position. Don't let the enemy take you out of that position. Because he's going to try to rob you of your, knock you down, get you out of your right position with him. Of being in right standing with God. Verse 6. I think that says 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Whew, this is Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God, didn't he? And he got his blessing. He will not be silent. Whew. We will not be silent until we see his kingdom come, until we see his glory manifest, till we see his miracles. Right? Amen. I believe that as David, or we are this generation David saw in this psalm, he got to look forward and he saw us. And he's like, wow, here's a people that are pure and spotless. They are filled with righteousness. They are filled with the Spirit. I can see it. They don't lie. They don't. He could see them. So what does he do? He creates this temple. Right? Takes the ark out. Has a little canopy over it so the sun doesn't beat on it. And who's the veil? The priests. The priests surrounded that ark. And they say, like, the Israelites could, all their tent doors faced that ark. So can you imagine going to bed at night? You have your doors open. And you're just seeing the blue Shekinah glory. Constant. And listening to the praise and worship around the ark of God. Whoo! Continuous. They say for over 35 years, there was 24/7 worship, praise, dance around. That should not have happened. Only one priest could go in once a year to atone for sin. Right? That should have not happened. He foreran what we have today. He could see it. What do we forerun today? I ask God. I was like, he saw that. And he brought it to his time when it shouldn't have happened. What do we forerun? And you know what he told me? Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. We can forerun as if we were in heaven. And it's his prayer. When he came, he said, here's what I want you to do. Bring heaven to earth. Live as if you're in heaven now on earth. Whew. That is amazing. That is a journey. That is a continuous, amazing journey. Because he is awesome. We are a people that live in the finished work of the cross. It's finished. where our old self died with Jesus. We are resurrected to a new life. The power of sin and death is broken. We live in constant union with Jesus, knowing God and being full of the Spirit. There's no separation. There is no separation, no striving to get in his presence. If you know him, if he's in your heart, he's with you always. Always. Quick story. So I'm like, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to spend time with you. Okay, so I get up first morning and I sit, or I'm in my living room and I'm worshiping and I feel his presence. Oh, it's so amazing. It's wonderful. We're having a good time talking, whatever. And then, you know, I go throughout my day and I come, or, you know, get up in the morning and I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend time with God. I go and I'm like, I praise you, God. Kind of feeling like, where are you? You know, like didn't feel like what I felt yesterday. And all of a sudden I felt this little brush on my leg. And I'm like, you're right here, aren't you? It woke me up to the fact that if I'm not feeling it, if it's not all, ooh, you know, I love that. But I have come to, or have decided that he is with me always. Always, always, always. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. You do not have to strive for his presence. I used to be like, God, change me, God, change me, God, change me. Oh, change me, change me. I want to know you. I want. And he's just like, I did. You guys, how you think. If you think you're a sinner, if you think the negative things, that's what you're going to focus on, and that's what you're going to be. But if you think you're powerful, if you think you're full of the Holy Spirit, if you think that he's always with you, your life will change. Because you will start seeing him in a different light, in a different way. Those things can hinder you, can block. Okay, I better keep moving. So we get to forerun heaven on earth. David's tabernacle, it says in Acts 15:16. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. This is the tabernacle that God chose to rebuild. Interesting, huh? He is building in you. Whew, a heart for praise, a heart to love him, a heart to, he is wooing you, he is chasing you down. He is coming after you. He's relentless about your heart. If you yield this much, he's going to take it. He's amazing. I liked it because the priests were the veil in that time. The priests were the veil. Who are priests now? We all are. And our first thing is to minister to the Lord. To be ministers to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. You're special. You're chosen. You're royal. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're a portal of God. Lift, verse 7 in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Lift up your heads, O you portals. And be lifted up, you everlasting portals. Whew, you are a portal he wants to flow through. I liked to lift up our heads is a figure of speech for a bold confidence that brings rejoicing and hope. Lift up. Be confident. Right? Rejoice in hope because he's here. All right. And the King of Glory shall come in. The King of Glory shall come in. He shall fill you. Now, these portals, he wants to flow through the portals in you. There's probably more than I'm going to mention, but I'm going to quickly mention these. The portal of your heart. Your heart is a portal that he wants to flow through. That's why he says, above all else, guard your heart, right? The portal of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, right? Your eyes. He wants to flow through your eyes. He wants you to see. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We walk by faith, right, and not by sight here. But Father, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. The pure in heart shall see God. You'll see God. Who wants to see God? Who wants to see what he's doing? Do you ask him in a service, Father, what are you doing? I want to see what you're doing. Or is there a word to speak? Because you don't know, you might have to just go to one person, but you could speak and it could be to everyone and it could change, bring a change, right? Because words can be healing to those that are around us. Ears, your ears, he wants to speak to you. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. He who has ears, let him hear. Oh, I so long to hear. I love hearing. I'm addicted to hearing him. Even through you. Sometimes he doesn't always speak to me, but he'll speak to me through you. Right? Oh. Love it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor heart has imagined what God has prepared for them. But he reveals it to us by the Spirit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. To me, that's a challenge. I want to see. I want to hear. I want my heart to go after him and see what haven't I seen? What haven't we seen? What does he want to do in the midst of us? Verse 8, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Right? No weapon formed against the Lord strong and mighty. He wants to flow through you in strength and might. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. He tells us again, because he wants to bring change into your circumstance. He wants to bring change. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring hope. He wants to bring glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. It says the angels, the Lord of Hosts, the angels are ministering spirits sent to those who are saved. A little my translation, but he is the Lord of Hosts, the angel armies, the heavenly armies that are all behind you. I'd love to see. And who has seen in here this place full of angels? There's plenty of times that I've looked and it's just like, even some of the kids, they're just like, there's angels here. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Because they're attracted to the presence of God. They're attracted and they're here to help, to minister. Portals of praise. Psalm 68. The worship team, if you guys want to get ready. Psalm 68, 1 through 4. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who also hate him flee from before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Let God arise. Let him arise. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Praise, being a portal of praise, can change your circumstance. But like even in Paul and Silas's situation, it changed others' circumstance, didn't it? You're a portal of praise that releases the kingdom of God on the earth. When you lift him up, when you praise him, when there's warfare, your greatest weapon is praise. Praise him. Lift him up. He's strong and mighty in battle. Steve was telling me they always sent the worshipers first. We pray, they're just clearing the way. Right? That's what happens. It says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. When you lift him up, his enemies, he can't stand it. He can't stand the presence of God. He has to flee. When you love him, when you remind him of who he is, when you remind him of how great he is. He loves to come into your situation.